I would like right now to read some statements from some individuals who have discovered Sabbath rest for themselves, and they talk about their struggles as well.
Let me make a comment here. When Jim started taking this time away, as I said, we called it going to the park because that's what he did. We didn't even call it rest. We didn't know what it was. It was time that was intimate with God, and God started peeling away the onions in his life. And he didn't project it onto me. He didn't tell me I had to go do it. It was something that I caught. He eventually taught it, but it was something that I caught because it had such a profound effect on him and on our relationship together that I was amazed. So it wasn't something that was forced on me. It was something that I saw was taking place that was changing him. And because it was changing him, it was changing our relationship, and it was changing our relationship with our sons. So this was not something that was pushed. It was something that started to evolve in our lives together and had such an impact that it began to change us. And that was what was good about it. It wasn't something that somebody hit us over the head with. It was something that God very gently started to do in him, and then he started to do in me.
And eventually, well, it wasn't very long after that before the congregation noted changes, that I was more relaxed as I preached, that I openly admitted where I was not an example of the text I was preaching. But that was all right to admit that. To admit that I was growing rather than trying to show that I was a perfect pastor that they were to emulate and look and be like. So we grew together, congregation, family, myself, in the presence of God. We became closer to our congregation, to our people, not further away, because we became honest about our walk with God and what was going on inside of us. Others, too, received a glimpse of what it was to enjoy solitude and Sabbath with God. One of my favorite verses, and there are many about rest, but one of my favorite verses is found in Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Isn't it true that we look for rest and hope in so many things out there that don't deliver, don't satisfy? We may turn on the television or music and we just turn up the volume, hoping that we'll find rest in volume of music or in friendships, and friends are good. I'm all for friendships, but our friends cannot give us the rest we need. And only God gives us the hope that is necessary to calm our nerves, our soul, and put us in a point of peace with him and our surroundings. Psalm 62 is a powerful psalm about hope, hope in God alone. And until we put our hope in him alone, we'll try everything else until we're only satisfied in him. David Maines, a longtime pastor, says that helicopters require almost constant attention, and it would appear that God has designed human beings to run best with a weekly spiritual recalibration. His Sabbath principle is one that can't be repeatedly ignored without doing damage to your soul. God seems to have made us to function best when one day each week is designed for resouling, or restoring, or attending to our spiritual needs. We've already talked about the rhythm of work and rest. And many people say, well, why don't you just have a quiet time every morning? And I'm all for the quiet times. But often the quiet is too short to allow God to work deeply in our lives. Others say, well, I take a monthly retreat of 1 to 2 days. That's wonderful. I would never deprive a person of that. But God's rhythm is 1 out of 6 days. We can't wait a whole week to unravel our inner souls before God, or a whole month. We must do it regularly, on a weekly basis. And we don't get deep enough with a daily quiet time. The rhythm of God is work 6 and find some deep rest in part of a 7th day in our lives. Peter Scazzaro, a newer author to many, he had the same dilemma that I was experiencing. Our great dilemma, and mine for years, that I was too busy building a bigger church and looking for ways to have greater impact. Who had time for this kind of morbid introspection? Wouldn't reflection time slow down the work for God? What good for God and others could come out of tapping into my unconscious and unidentified wishes, fears, and hopes? It was time to heed the advice of many voices and search for significant spiritual rest. English parliamentarian William Wilberforce's check and balance to a busy life was Sabbath. He had come to understand genuine rest. Wilberforce had discovered that the person who establishes a block of time for Sabbath rest on a regular basis is most likely to keep all of life in proper perspective and remain free of burnout and breakdown. From the beginning of all history, it has been an axiom at the base of healthy living. Unfortunately, it is a principle badly misunderstood by those whose lives are driven by achievement and acquisition. These individuals found a Sabbath rest that was this axiom, was this reading of a compass on a weekly basis that reoriented their lives. And I too was on the same path. It didn't feel comfortable at first. It didn't feel right. I was embarrassed to tell people what I was doing. I said, what are you doing every week? Are you just being lazy out there in the park, wasting God's time as a minister? I finally was bold enough to say, no, I have a meeting with God who is my boss, my CEO, and he calls me to meet with him every week. And the church people are not the bosses of my life. I'm called by God. I answer to God, and I must go before him on a weekly basis. And they began to understand that it was making changes in my life, and I was a better, not a worse pastor for it. I was better. I was more caring. I felt God's love in my life to such an extent it began to flow into other lives, and I became a more loving pastor. Not a bad idea for a pastor to love his people. So it was a very positive, wonderful, good thing. And they became acceptant of it. And then they wanted it for themselves.
You know, in this quote, he talks about losing perspective or gaining perspective from Sabbath rest. And I think that for the two of us, that's one of the things that happens still in our lives is we lose perspective. And when we get away with God, we regain perspective. And I think we even see it in each other as a week goes by and maybe we miss our time. We begin to see it in each other that in each other as a marriage that we've lost perspective. And we're both really good at that. We're both really good at losing perspective. And that's where we get perspective again is by sitting down with God in a time of quietness and solitude and having him give us back perspective, his perspective.
Instead of being like a cave one is crawling into away from the world, mm-hmm. It's like getting on top of a mountain and seeing where you've been in your travels, in your days during the past week, what have you been doing? You look back and can see where you went off the trail and where you got back onto it. You could also see where you were going. And that helped you. It's like a reading of a compass, as I've already said. You get a compass reading to redirect. And you better not wait a month, and especially not a year, for that to happen. You need it weekly, a compass reading weekly. And you need it more often than a month, but probably not every day to the same extent. Though I will say my Sabbaths made my daily quiet times richer and better and fuller and more helpful than ever.
Even a small contribution can make a big difference. Jesus fed 5,000 people because of a little boy's 5 loaves. Regardless of the amount, your contribution is very important and greatly appreciated. Visit us at tvsseminary.com.